Hello, Jets fans. It's Dr. Emma here to preview round 13 this week that sees us playing the Melbourne Victory away on Saturday night at Amy Park. To help me do that, I have the kings of the dad jokes with me tonight. It's hopefully going to be a funny pod. First, I have actual dad, Mitch. Welcome.
I'm so stoked that Luke and I are now the kings of the dad joke, and we've taken that from Dave and Glenn. They are just going to listen to this and just burn with hatred. This is great.
And Luke's not even an actual dad, so welcome, Luke, honorary dad for the jokes alone.
Well, we were talking about this the other night, and I said that when Mitch became a dad, I felt like I got some of his dad powers, because one of the first things he told me when his firstborn was born was a dad joke that has stuck with me for since then. So I feel honored to be the honorary dad.
You might have to share it with the listeners now that you've told us it was a memorable dad joke.
Okay. It was very good. Okay. So what's the difference between a piano, tuner, and glue?
Do tell.
Okay. You can tune a piano, but you can't piano a tuner.
And what's the glue got to do with it?
I knew you'd get stuck there.
Wow. Okay. Best dad joke is going to be a future opening question. Should have done that tonight, but I don't have any. So let's not go there. Let's go to the actual opening question before Luke hurts himself. My actual opening question was, boys, tell me the weirdest, most surprising / most unusual thing anyone ever paid you to do. So whether that's a job or a dare or something whack that you've done for the dollar or maybe not the dollar, as it may be. Mitch, you want to go first?
Yeah, so it's not a super surprising thing, but how it went down was always surprising to me. But my first year playing state league football, so like what the NPL is now, I was playing under 19s and then had a few games where I filled in for the reserve grade. And I probably played like half a dozen games for reserve grade coming off the bench. And what I didn't realise was that club paid reserve grade for a win, and they paid it in like quarterly blocks. So it was, I think it was $60 for a win if you played the whole game. And I played in two wins that I played the majority of the second half in. So then at presentation night at the end of the year, I got given $30 in a check, and it was the most surprising thing I'd ever seen. And it was my first like professional football check and whatnot. And I was so excited and I was giggling like a little schoolgirl. And it was just the best feeling ever. And instead of cashing it in, I just framed it and put it on my wall as like a reminder of how awesome I am. And then like a year later, the secretary of the club comes up to me and he's like, "You never cashed your check in and our bank balance is all off because of it." So I was just stoked to like be a part of the, you know, professional football crew and making my way in the world and stuff. And yeah, I had to go cash it in for $30. And yeah, it just blew me away. So, and heaps unexpected. So that's my favorite story about getting paid.
You took the surprising in a very different direction.
Yeah, no, I think I cashed the check in, like I unframed it, cashed it in, but then like they stamped it at the bank, and then I took that stamped version back and reframed that. So I think it's in my shed still somewhere. So yeah, my first professional football payment. Yeah.
Your first or your only?
No, I had a few since, but
impressive.
The rest got higher, and every time I brought it back home, my girlfriend / fiance / wife, she'd just take it and bring it
back. I'm hoping they're all the same person.
A few days later.
if they're not all the same person, we've got a few surprise girls listening to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll move on. Luke, what do you got for me? Surprising.
Okay. This is going down the wrong path here, but there was
there's no wrong answers. It's an opening question.
Oh boy. So I think I was about 18 or 19, and it was in the middle of the uni holidays between semesters, semester 1 and 2. So it would have been sort of June, July, and me and a group of mates went to Barrington Tops. We stayed at a little farm up near the Barrington Tops, near just outside of Gloucester. And where we were staying, there was this there was a river going past, and, you know, we were there for 3-4 days, and it got to probably the last day, and we all got a bit bored, and we're trying to find stuff to do. So some people decided to put together a scavenger hunt of sorts. And one of the items on there was to go skinny dipping in the lake. So I went and did it for my team. And for anyone that knows me, that sort of stuff is like way out of, I don't do that stuff ever. And I just decided, you know what, we'll run in to this lake in the middle of July and just go swimming in it. And you know what, that was a terrible idea.
So you did it for the points, not the dollars.
Just for the win. No, there was no money involved. I didn't get anything for it.
Luke, next time someone dares you to go naked in a cold, cold lake, you say, sure, how much will you give me? And you take the money and the points. That's a pro-life tip.
That was a good life tip. Hindsight is a good thing as well. You shouldn't be asking that stuff after you do it. You do it beforehand. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and I'm impressed.
I've never done anything like that since.
Did your team win?
I don't know. I think people just got bored of it.
I'm guessing that means no. Well, you would have been the hero, and you'd certainly remember that.
I can't be bothered doing anything else now. I was a bit cold.
You had pneumonia.
I think I got sick after that, so probably.
Well, I was going to go for mine.
I'm just picturing you coming out of the swamp like, I am the lizard queen. Like,
I'm trying not to picture Luke coming out of the swamp, so let's move on. Okay, so I was going to go with getting paid to tweet, because people probably don't realize you can get money for that. But now that I've heard your two, I think the actual employment one's probably a little bit nerdy, and I'm going to go for the time that I was in Washington, D.C. It was a heat wave. I don't know if anyone's been to Washington, D.C., but there's basically no trees in that city. It was super, super, super hot, and a woman offered me $60 for my umbrella, which I was using as a parasol.
Wow.
$60 American.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
That you paid like $10 for.
It was an Oriton umbrella, so it was a little bit of an Exy umbrella, but the exchange rate for Australian dollars versus American dollars, I'll take $60 American for an umbrella any day.
I'm surprised you're not still there selling umbrellas to people.
Yeah, America. Yeah. Anyway. Moving on from our opening question then, let's talk about the actual football, because I think that's what this podcast is about. So we're playing Melbourne Victory. We're playing away to Melbourne Victory. How are we feeling about this game in general, boys? Let's start with your vibes.
So after the City game on Sunday, I was feeling pretty positive about it, to be honest. I thought that, yeah, since Honda's been out for Victory, they haven't really looked as lethal. They have still got results, but they haven't been as clinical in front of goal, or, you know, they've conceded silly goals. And I thought, you know what, with, you know, yes, Ronnie's out. Yes, that's a hit to our team, but, you know, Dimmy's going to be coming into the centre of the field. And, you know, we played without Ronnie for nearly all of last season and did well without him. So I think Dimmy going back central, not being stuck out on the wing, I think we're gonna see a good game from him. So I was feeling positive, and then Victory lost last night, and I no longer as confident as I thought I was, purely because, yeah, losing 2-0 in that sort of manner to one of your biggest rivals, a team like Victory is always going to come back hard from a result like that. And yeah, they were terrible last night, but I think I don't think Musket's really going to let him get away with a performance like that 2 weeks in a row.
Mitch, are your vibes similar?
I have mixed emotions. I've been down in Amy Park and watched us play Victory or City and absolutely get smacked, and it hasn't been nice, but also they've had the shorter turnaround than us. And it's a 7:50 game, isn't it? It's the late game.
Correct.
Yeah, and I've definitely vibed, like, watching us play the last 2 weeks in that severe heat at 7:30 on the Sunday, and then playing that next weekend that was, you know, cooler. I've definitely vibed that we're we're not dealing with the heat very well. So I think we're much more suited to night games. So I'm feeling pretty positive that we're not going to blow out and be super unfit. So I'm torn both ways, but I'm kind of optimistic.
Well, the weather in Melbourne is always a variable. It could easily be 2 degrees or 200 degrees, or it could be 14 degrees at the beginning of the match and 40 by the end of it, or vice versa, because that's Melbourne. So who knows? Even late at night, it could be very hot or it could be crazy stormy. So I think that's a little bit of a variable in Melbourne. You are right, though. We do often get smacked in Melbourne. We have lost our last three games against Melbourne Victory down in Melbourne. But as Luke said, they've not had the best run of form. So they've only won one of their last four matches. And that was against the Wanderers, who arguably are bigger basket cases than us at the moment. They're not having the greatest run. Now, Luke also mentioned Honda. Honda is on the outs list still with a hamstring injury. Apparently, he seemed to have been out before he actually had his injury, and I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. How big a loss is he to the team?
I think he's massive. He's definitely the biggest name in the squad. And just the attitude he has to the game. He's always training. Even on the days off, he's still training. I think he's probably the most professional foreigner we've had, just in his attitude and everything. He's even though he's out, he was still in Adelaide. He was still in the dressing room yesterday, just as a presence and stuff. Obviously not as influential as when he's on the field, but if anyone is missing a player of his caliber from the team, it's a huge loss to anyone. They reckon he's going to be back in time for the Big Blue on the 26th. Apparently, so that's Sydney's problem. That's not our problem. Just on his injury, as you said, I don't know exactly what the problem is. They sort of reported that it was a hamstring problem after he already missed a couple of games. He was out of the squad in the Melbourne Derby in December, and then he was named in the squad for Wellington, and then was not included. And then that's when they said it was a hamstring. So I don't know what the exact.
And that's probably weird, right?
Sorry.
That's weird, right? A couple of weeks off and then an injury announced.
Well, when he had the first week off or two, I think it was a Melbourne Derby, they originally said, oh, we're just resting him, like, because we have such a jam-packed January and we don't want to overdo him. And then, it was just surprising to see him not come back and apparently injured. Maybe he got injured and it was just unfortunate.
Well, Musket said at some point that he was going to play, and then the day before he did something to his hamstring and he went to the specialist or the physio or whatever, and they said they'd never seen anything like it. So, but he didn't exactly say it was a tear or anything. He just said it was a problem with his hamstring that this specialist had never seen before. So I don't know what that means, but...
Is it because nothing's actually wrong with his hamstring?
He was limping a lot, so who knows?
It must mean that Honda's hamstring could coach that team better than Musket has, and Musket doesn't like it. That doctor truly hasn't seen something like that before.
Yeah.
Burn. I do like the saltiness towards Musket. More of that, please, boys.
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're also missing Niedermeyer, who is out with a calf injury and doesn't even have a return date yet. Are we glad that he's out?
I don't think it really matters too much. I mean, he is a good player and stuff, but he's only played something like 20 minutes in the last five or six games. Like, he's been out for a very long time, so I think they're probably at this stage used to him being out, although given Deng's performance last night, they'd probably want him in the squad. He's another strange one. There seems to be a lot of problems with the foreigners this year getting a lot of injuries. Like, it's not just Victory, there's... Like, the Wanderers lost two in the first half last night as well, the other night, so.
I'm bit racist there, Luke. Is it really the foreigners?
It's too damn hot for them. It's way too hot for the foreigners.
Oh, I think it's a bit damn hot for everyone at the moment, so I don't blame them. Okay, who else are they missing? Nick Ansell and Jai Ingham. Will we miss either of those, or will they miss either of those, rather?
Ansell's just... he's just one less defensive guy, so it's just wearing them thinner. And I didn't watch the game last night, but if Deng didn't have a good game, then, yeah, they're more reliant on, I guess, worse form people. So, yeah, it's probably for us.
The centre-backs last night were Deng and Broxham, so, and Deng set up Ken Ilso's goal. If you see the replay of it, you'll understand. And that wasn't even the first time he'd done something like that in the game, Deng. It was, yeah, I think the second or third time he lost possession as the last defender.
If they're playing Deng and Broxham as their centre backs, Roy is just going to be licking his lips. This is his time to shine. Like, he's not against big, muscly centre backs. This could be really interesting for him.
Will he just run straight through them?
Yeah, let's hope so. Supported by Dimmy.
All right, well, that's who they're missing. What about who we have to look out for in terms of who they've got in their squad? Are we looking at, the goalkeeper, getting past the goalkeeper, Lawrence Thomas being the important part, or getting past Valeri, or is their goal scorers going to be our problem? Where are we looking to, I guess, shut victory down?
They've got a lot of quality all over the park. They've got a lot of, current or former, not current, obviously, because they have none in the Asian Cup, but they have a lot of former Socceroos and internationals. The biggest thing for me, and I think it was Bodes that highlighted it weeks ago, when we played at home versus Perth, Keo absolutely monstered Bogard that game, like just full-on bullied him out of the game, and Bogard was genuinely rattled. And the biggest issue that he highlighted that day, Bodes highlighted to us, is that Toivonen is going to do exactly that to us. So the biggest threat to me is how our centre-backs handle Toivonen, because, oh my goodness, he is a great player.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think, you could see that game that Keo just destroyed Bogard, and not... It was so uncharacteristic of Bogard to have a game like to be rattled that much by a forward, and you could see the flow-on effect go to the rest of the team. That if this has happened to your captain, they're supposed to be they're sort of on the pedestal, like they're the hard men. So to see your captain go like that, it definitely has a flow-on effect to everyone else. So if Toivonen's going to be putting in a shift like Keo did, it could be a pretty rough night for our centre-backs there.
Yeah, and what about their midfield? They've got a lot of experience in their midfield. How do you think we're going to, I guess, match up to them?
Well, sorry, you go, Mitch.
I was just thinking, we'd probably have Redenton playing again, like Cantor's still out for a few weeks, right?
Correct.
So we're playing a pretty inexperienced player against, like, the likes of Valeri and Troisi, who are just seasoned professionals. Like, it's almost feeling like it's men versus boys, just looking at it on the brief outlook.
I agree. Like, their midfield, you've got Troisi, you've got Antonis, you've got Valeri. You've also got that new player from, I think it was Avalon, Elvis. I can't remember his surname, but he had his debut last night against Adelaide. And
Camp
he was
Sober.
Very lively.
Elvis Camp Sober.
He was very lively, very energetic. He did look like a giraffe on ice skates at times, but he was, yeah, very energetic. And I think this is probably the sort of game that, given that Ken is out, you probably want someone with a bit more mongrel in the midfield to try and break them down. I think probably, from what we've seen so far this season, Rydenton, he doesn't really have that sort of hunger or energy that Kantorovsky and Jugarkovic bring. So for me, I'd probably be looking at someone like Cowby potentially coming into the centre mid. He's probably more Kantorovsky style than Rydenton is, and it just gives something to, I guess, sort of break down their attack, have a bit of mongrel, put some tackles in, just try and stop them coming through, rather than Rydenton, where we've seen a couple of times in recent weeks when he's played, be coached through on the field by players and look out of position a lot of the time.
Okay, I think that's interesting. I think you're very right that Redenton could easily be outplayed by the midfield that Melbourne Victory can bring forward. I think Stevie is plenty experienced to hold his own and potentially guide Redenton through. Do you think Cowburn? I think it's a very interesting idea, and I definitely hear what you're saying with the mongrel for Cowby versus Redenton. Do you think he's got the experience to slot into that spot, and do you think he's got the form to even start?
I think he has more of a presence than Redenton does, and that's what Kantorovsky brings us, is an awesome presence in there. I imagine when Troisi chucks his little fits and tries to bully people here, there and everywhere, I imagine Cowburn will react to it much better than Redenton will.
Interesting.
Yeah, I feel Cowburn's a lot more in your face. Like, if someone's going to go at him, he's going to hold his own, go back at him. Whereas Redenton, I sort of feel he's, you know, he hasn't had the best season so far. I think he's more probably inclined to sort of take a step back from it, if that makes sense.
It'd be a ballsy move, and I don't think Ernie's that ballsy, but I think it's a great idea. Okay, so we've naturally moved on to our squad, so let's keep going there. Our other unavailable for this week due to injury is still Joey Champness, obviously. There was some talk about Joey possibly making it back into the squad for this week, earlier in the week, but he's on the unavailable list that's been released. Is that disappointing not to see him back after so long, and that they kind of gave us a hint that he might be?
I think it's awesome for Joey Champness, but I think it's a little bit upsetting that we're so hopeful and reliant on one player that is a pretty young player. Like, we're so just like, please bring him in, he's going to solve all our issues. Like, we're in a bit of dire straits if that's the thing we're praying for. So, yeah, it's not a good situation, really.
That's a lot of pressure.
I think... Sorry.
No, go ahead, Luke.
Okay, I was just going to say, yeah, he wasn't named in the squad, but there's been plenty of instances where teams have changed who's in and out after that squad's been released. I don't think it's a set in stone, this is who we're using this week. Thinking back to the game against Brisbane Roar in December, where we won 2-0, Vargas was out of the squad altogether, and then Ernie decided the day before that he actually was fit enough, like he had come through whatever groin injury he had then, and was fit to start. So I don't think it's, you know, yeah, he hasn't been named, but we could see it. I don't think we will. I think they'll probably... I've got a feeling we'll probably see him for the derby on the 23rd. I feel like I've just got a feeling that's probably when he's going to be back in the squad 100%, or at least starting from the bench.
Luke, do you think that Ernie's playing some Graham Arnold mind games and leaving his squad choices till the end? And
I was literally just about to say that.
To be honest, he could be. I don't know if Muscat's the person that's going to fall for it. I'd probably think that was
Muscat's not clever enough for mind games, surely.
No, it was more like, I think for mind games, I feel you're going to have a much happier time with mind games against Corica than you are Muscat. If he was going to do it, I would actually save it for the following week against Sydney.
Do you guys remember that David Squires cartoon where he had Graham Arnold mind games and Arnold's doing his boogie woogie hands and it's going to Muscat and it just zooms in on his bald head and there's just a dog catching a ball in there? That was just that's all I was picturing when you said that, Luke.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing too, even without having seen the cartoon. So we're all on the same page.
Well, for anyone that hasn't seen Squires cartoons, they're literally... Oh, they're not literally, but they're pretty much one of the best things about that, like an observant A-League fan. They're terrific. They're on the Guardian website, I think it is. They are fantastic. You should look at them every week.
No sponsorship from the Guardian, just to make that clear. Okay, well, other potential points of contention in the starting lineup and squad for this week. So Moss is on the returns list, coming back from the knock that he copped to the leg when at home. What do we think is going to happen there? Is Moss coming back in? Is Italiano done, or did Italiano do enough in the games he's had to keep that position?
I think Moss, like, he seems like he's, you know, getting towards the end of his career and he's trying to help out coaching and maybe even get a more of a coaching job with us, I think he'll actually encourage the squad, like in the coaches, to use Italiano more and give him more of a chance because he's doing pretty well.
Luke, you agree?
Yeah, I think that's probably a bit what's happening. I don't think Italiano's done a whole lot wrong. He probably, I'm not even going to say it. It's probably nitpicking about the Bratton goal, but I don't think he saw it until it has already gone past him, really. But, you know, some people have said he could have done better on that. Whatever. I mean, you look at the other goals that we've conceded in that time. One was a penalty. What was the other one against? There was a couple against Brisbane that weren't really his fault. He was just let down by more the defensive.
Actually, yeah, back post header.
Yeah, the back post headers. And then there was another penalty. So, you know, he's conceded 5 goals and 2 of them were penalties. Some of the saves he's done, he seems to be a commanding figure. He's launched himself at a lot of balls. I don't feel worried when he's in goals. Like, I don't think he's going to let us down or anything. So I think given he's in there, he hasn't really done a whole lot wrong to lose that position. And as Mitch said, we don't even know how, like, yeah, Moss is named in the squad, but we don't know how fit he really is, like whether he's willing to risk it or whether he's happy to sit or their coaching staff don't want to risk him. But I think with the coaching gigs, I think he's got his heart set on that and will probably transition over to those in the next couple of years.
What about you, Dr. Emma? I know you're one of the biggest fans of the goalkeeper being one of the more important positions. Like, do you get heaps more confidence from Moss? Are you happy with Lewis?
No, I absolutely agree with what you guys have said, and I think it's a pretty good succession plan to have Moss and Italiano together in terms of Italiano's being Moss's kind of protege even before they came, both came and joined the Jets. So I think, as you guys said, Moss is going to be happy to push Italiano forward and, you know, help him become a better player. And I think they're a nice team, kind of partnership of keepers together, and I think that's a very good position to be in. So yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I think as well, you know, we look at Italiano, and he's, you know, everyone would have put him down as our second choice keeper, which he has been for the most part of the season. But you look at other teams' first choice keepers, and I rate him above half of those. So it's not he's definitely one I'm happy to have in goals for us. Not like Vedran currently is.
Oh, Vedran and bloody Paul Lizzo. I'm never touching either of those guys.
Yeah, though we had difficulty scoring against Izzo, so.
Yeah. No, I don't like him.
Ryan Keogh either.
Can knock him out again.
He's nailed on for me as the worst keeper in the A-League. I don't care what he does. Anyway, I'll stop being a cow. So what about the rest of our squad then? So those are, I guess, the points of contention. We've had a few come into the squad in terms of who haven't been included lately back into the squad. And obviously there's two to be omitted still, and it will probably be one of these two who misses out, or three who misses out. We've got Mitch Austin coming back in, Ivan Vietsa coming back in, and Angus Thurgate. Do you reckon any of those three are going to get a run, either in the starting lineup or from the bench, Lukey?
Just trying to think.
Don't hurt yourself.
You look at the four we've got up front currently, and you've got Roy up top, who's come off playing a full game. You know, you're probably saying he's back to full fitness now. You've got Demi, who I reckon will be playing in the centre. And then on the wings, you could probably argue that you've got Hoff, Shepherd, Jair to go up there. So you sort of think, like, out of those guys, Voyager aside, who do you think is going to go in, take one of those spots? Or, like, who's going to be used, like, subbing off for one of them? Because they've already got a sub for those four spots. So, I don't know. I think it's a difficult one. I don't really know, to be honest.
Do we use Thurgate or Austin in attack, or do we move Hoffy back to attack and put Vujica in as a sub for the backs? Or,
well, if you're going with a back sub, you'd probably have Lockie Jackson because he's more versatile. He can play centre or on the left. You know, I don't think we'll be seeing too much change from the back line. I think we'll still see Georgievski, Bugard, Topper Stanley, and Katrumbis. Maybe Voyitsa to cover Katrumbis for when he, you know, if he runs out of legs again. That's probably, yeah, for me, probably the one of those three who would get in.
But we're agreeing that Dimi's going to move to the centre. Is that what we're all thinking is going to happen?
Yeah, Dimi's moving to the centre for sure. And, like, I think he's really going to thrive there. It's the big thing is who's the two wingers in his place. And you'd imagine if they keep the back four the same, that Hoff will get one of the wing spots. And I reckon it's just down to a coin toss between Jair and Kane Shepherd to take the other one. And I think it's prime time to give Shepherd a go. He's had enough showings of late. He might not be full fitness, but you've got some pretty decent players like Jair to you know, sub on for him after 50-something minutes. So I think it's time for Shepherd to get a start.
Yep, I totally agree. I think that would be a beautiful strategy for sub partnerships, to put Shepherd on to start, then put Jair on to follow him up. And I think if Hoffy doesn't end up in the back, he definitely needs to be played in the front. And I can't see, as you said, why they would change that back line unless Boogs does finally cark it.
Let's hope not.
Well, I don't mean actually die, but I mean, like, you know, do a soft do a soft tissue injury.
We can never tell with you, Dr. Emma.
Bad choice of words. Sorry, Boogs.
No, I think Ernie won't change too much. He's got a relatively good formula, and he's very positive about how we're playing at the moment. He's extremely pleased with how we're going. And, you know, Melbourne City, they've kind of been, I thought last year they were the hardest team we played against. Like, we struggled majorly against them, and they were pretty much the least ideal semi-final opponent, but somehow we got past them. So I think Ernie sees the formula onto a winner at the moment, so I think he'll do as little changes as possible.
All right, well, speaking of the formula and winning, that's going to require scoring goals. I read the stat today that Dimi has more shots this season than anyone else in the A-League, which sounds great until you consider that he therefore must have the lowest conversion rate of anyone in the A-League. Is Dimi going to score? Who's going to score? The $64 million question, where are the goddamn goals going to come from?
Dimi's going to score. He's going to be a completely different player playing in the middle. He'll have him, like, even what was the last home game? He looked much more sprightly than the Raw game. I think he's going to absolutely thrive there. He'll get a free kick goal, and he'll also get a nice goal into playing with Roy. I'm so confident on that.
Lukey, you agree?
All right. I agree. I think Dimi in the centre is going to it's going to be probably the closest sort of game we're going to have to what we had last year at this stage. And I agree, you know, he's had that many shots, and as everyone's sort of been saying for the last couple of weeks, you can't be having 25 shots a game week in, week out, and not converting at least some of them at some point. So, and someone's going to cop a big scoreline soon because of the just how we're playing and stuff. I think once we get it going, we'll get it going, and someone's going to cop a very big scoreline against us. I mean, there's been, what, two or three games in the last month where we've taken at least 25 shots? Like, if we're doing that on a weekly basis, someone's going to take five off us soon. So hopefully it's this week. I reckon Dimi's going to score. He's most shots, most chances created, most crosses. It's going to pay off.
Luke, I just want to shout out to you. Just had one of my favourite moments of Jetstream punditry. You said, when we get it going, it's going to get going. And I was like, it was just awesome. And I'm like, that's a Tombstone headline if I've ever seen one. It was awesome. I liked it. A real Michael Owen moment.
Can I take over Speedy yet? Or is that like that level? Or okay, cool.
It was good.
All right. Well, while we're doing our big calls on punditry then, Luke, you made me think when you said when we get going, we'll really get going.
It sounds like a Beatles song or something like that.
Get going, really get going.
It was definitely on a 70s soundtrack somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the Red Hot Chili Peppers could play it at Hope Estate or something. Get it going, going, get it going.
Oh, that was much better than mine. There's your episode title. Someone remember that.
I don't even think we could say it back if we tried properly. It was awesome.
All right, so Luke made me think when he said about getting it going. Ernie was in the media this week, quoted as saying that this is a team that will play in the finals. We are seventh at the moment. We're seventh by 7 points. So we're not exactly knocking on the door of the top six, but, you know, mathematically that's only a couple of wins away, or a few wins away, rather. Do we really have a chance of playing in the finals? I noticed Ernie did not specify which season, so, you know, he hasn't really locked himself in for this year.
We'll make the finals by Christmas.
Is Ernie dreaming, or do you guys still see us getting going in time to get going into the top six?
If Adelaide lost to Victory, it would have only been 4 points and it still would have seemed nicer. But that one result, just making it, there's two teams, seven in front of us. That is such a big gap. And what is it, round 13? So loosely halfway through the season. Like there's a lot to play for, but that's a massive, massive turnaround of us actually getting points and then getting more points than the people above us. It's, it's an interesting call. I'm not as optimistic as him, but, you know, benefit of the doubt to the guy. He said we'd finish top two last year and I laughed at him and he did exactly that. So
that's one of my favourite things that sports commentators say, Mitch. You've got to get points and get more points than the people above you. Yes, that is how math works.
Yeah. You just, when you get it going, you've got to get it going.
Luke, do you reckon we've got a chance or you reckon Merrick's just talking big like he has to?
Well, I mean, this weekend's around 13. There's still 45 points on offer. We're seven behind. I mean, there's plenty of chances for us. You know, we beat Adelaide. We've still got two games against Wellington. We take 6 points off them and they're only a point ahead of us. So it's definitely a possibility. Just on the whole Ernie saying we will be playing finals, I saw on Twitter just before the pod that Laurie has a bet on with a someone on Twitter. Laurie said the exact same thing, that we'll be playing finals, and this guy has a bet going with Laurie that if we don't make the finals, he'll get a free membership. So if that's not incentive to do well, I don't know what is.
Yeah, right, paying memberships.
Interesting.
It was probably that Shane Rama guy. He likes talking to Laurie.
Let's not name names.
No, I don't know who it was. It wasn't Shane.
Let's not get weird and out people from social media. Go on the social media and look up Laurie's account if you want to see who he's been tweeting. Yes.
Good on him for backing themselves, though, but I'm not as optimistic as they are. I'm hopeful, but, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, well, like I said, he didn't specify which season, so Forever Seventh is looking pretty banged on right now. But, of course, I remain optimistic, and I guess if we beat the right teams, maths can do all kinds of wonderful things. Just to cheer us up, now that I've said that depressing thing, who wants to talk about how the Mariners are going?
I don't know who said it to me. It was either Dave or someone completely unrelated to the podcast, but it was only on the weekend or thereabouts that someone made me realize that the Mariners are going for the invincible season. And I just can't wish that enough. They're going for zero wins, the invincibles. As an Arsenal fan, I just find it even more hilarious, that word. I want that to happen so much. It'd be so great.
I did see someone had photoshopped their banner with no wins in however many hundred games. Someone had photoshopped that to say we've lost count. I mean, I was surprised the Mariners could count that high to start with. So
they, but I think there was a, I don't know, an article or something either yesterday or today, and it had the classic, like, coach has not lost the changing room kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, captain speaks out and says we're all behind the guy. And, you know, I'm confident that when Mulvey signed up for that gig that he had a really nice payout clause if he got sacked, and maybe they're just not willing to part with that.
Yeah, I feel like no one writes a story saying he's still got the change room if he still does have the change room, though. If he has the change room, there's no need to write that story.
It's like the board coming out and say we've got full confidence in the coach. That's just, you know, you're on your, you just have your last rights written, read to you, because you're not going to survive too much longer at that point.
Mm, yeah. And who's their captain?
Matt Simon.
Yeah. So how much does this mean to anyone?
Well, I mean, like, going off the game against Sydney, when CC got sent off, he then walks off and sprays a mouthful at Montgomery. Like, if you're probably the most senior player in that squad and you're mouthing off at a coaching staff member that publicly, you've probably played your last game for the club, I reckon.
Mm.
Yeah, he hasn't turned out very well at all, that guy, has he? It's been great.
I've seen a lot of Mariners fans saying they wish he just retired, or
that can't be true, Luke. Lines, there's not a lot of Mariners fans.
You found them.
Where did you find all five of them? Oh, we'll stop being mean now. I'm doing that mean girls thing where I'd be mean to a weaker person to make myself feel better. Sorry, Mariners. They do have 2 points. They are bottom of the table. They haven't won a game in a very long time. Talking about that definitely does make me feel better. If we don't make the finals, they definitely don't make the finals. So that's nice. Anyway.
It's so nice. It's so nice.
Let's stop being mean.
I love it. I like mean girls too. Yeah.
Let's move on instead to some scuttlebutt.
Get in, Mitch. We're going shopping.
May I move on to the other scuttlebutt on the internet this week? People have been talking about Andy Naboot being approached by some other A-League clubs to return to Australia. Who wants to take that one for comment?
Well, I just want to say that there has been about 7 different articles saying Melbourne City are talking to this Socceroo player, this returning Socceroo. Like, they are on the phone to everybody. And I genuinely believe they're in contact with at least their agents, but how legit that that rumour becomes from that, it's entirely up to the player and the agents. Laurie has confirmed on social media multiple times that Andrew Naboot has openly stated to the club that if he does return to the A-League, which it doesn't sound like it's happening now, but he will give the Jets the first right of contract, offering. So he's going to give Laurie a call first up, no matter whenever he comes back. So that'd just come down to how competitive we are, you know, money and situation-wise at the time versus the other clubs if we want to get him back.
Because I saw it just before as well, a couple of hours ago now, Laurie tweeted that he'd been on the phone with Naboot's agent, and they confirmed that he's not coming back to the A-League, that he's still staying over in Japan. So, money talks. So it's all good to say now, but we'll see what happens.
So you think
Naboot
all this is
would
just
straight up be the ultimate addition to our side? Like, he is the exact thing we've been lacking. He'd be the best signing if he was available.
So do you guys reckon this is just sports journos needing to fill some pages, or?
Well, I mean, you look at what was put out from the World Game, and they say that they're looking at him. I mean, they can look at him and show interest in him as much as they want. It doesn't mean anything, really. At the end of the day, if he's not interested, then that's it. So, I mean, I don't have any doubt that they've probably called him, as Mitch said, but, you know, if he's not happy, or if he doesn't want to come back yet, then that's that. He doesn't want to come back. And I think as well, I think the thing that got me most about it this morning was it just didn't make sense, really. Like, if you've watched him the last couple of years when he's been with us, whenever the team scored and taken a lead against Sydney FC or Melbourne City, he's always sticking it to those fans because he's such a, he, you know, he started his career with Melbourne Victory. We resurrected his career. So he, and from my experience with him, he's very loyal and upfront bloke. Like he's not gonna snake anyone. Is basically my sort of opinion of him. So it was definitely a very weird rumor to see, given his behavior when, you know, you watch Hoffman's goal against Melbourne City when we played down at Amy Park last season, and he's there giving the big ones to the supporters, the Melbourne City supporters, all seven of them. So, yeah, it was a strange one. I don't think he's coming back to the A-League yet. They said that Adelaide and Sydney are interested as well, but I don't see him coming back. Not yet, anyway.
Also, like, the when you play international and you're part of the core group of a, you know, a squad for an international tournament and stuff, your transfer value and your market value goes up. Like, it significantly goes up. There's nothing stopping any random person from the City Financial Group just, you know, dropping in Dubai and basically just like harassing all the Socceroos guys while they're eating breakfast and being like, all right, guys, who wants to sign a contract with lots of promises and stuff? Like, that could be as far as the interest is. They're just like, you know, tapping everyone's shoulders saying, are you happy with your current contract? Like, so yeah, I've got no doubt there is contact, but I have full confidence that he is as upfront as Laurie's saying he is.
Well, I hope that's true. All right, so unless I've missed anything else important to talk about, speak up if I have forgotten anything. Let's go and do our tips for the rest of the round. So let's start with us, obviously. We're playing Saturday night. Boys, what are your actual tips for this game?
I'm going 2-1 win and Dimmy to score both goals as, like, perfectly described by me earlier.
Ballsy. Lukey?
I'm going to say the same scoreline. I reckon that Roy's going to score one of the two, though. I may be wrong, but is four goals in consecutive games a Jets record? I can't remember if it's four equals it or four wins it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're confusing me with David Keating. I do not keep that information in my brain or a spreadsheet.
I can't remember. I think it might be three in a row is our current record. So I reckon he'll go for four and either equal or beat it. So that's my prediction for the game.
If anyone wants to know that answer, we will ask Jettapool to put that information up.
Taggart got to three in a row. Roy got to three in a row last season. I think Griffiths might have four. That's what I'm not sure about. I think he may have four in a row.
Yeah, we'll ask Dave. So
maybe Sash Show. I don't know. Yeah, that's an interesting stat.
We'll ask Dave and we'll get him to put it on the Twitter account when he has the actual number. All right, let's go back then to the beginning of the round because I went out of order to do us first. Friday night.
Sorry, Emma, what was your tip for our game?
Oh, yeah, I forgot me. I'm going to go not as optimistic as you two, but I reckon we can score a goal and I think we can scrape a draw. So I'm going to go a 1-1 draw. Let's go to the first game of the round, and I'm pretty sure I've got this round lined up correctly because I'm a bit confused because of all the out of orders from the shuffling that's happened at this section of the draw. I'm pretty sure the first game of this round is Melbourne City versus Brisbane Roar at home in Melbourne on Friday night. I will do my tip first so I don't forget this time, and I'm going to say that outrageously Brisbane are going to win 2-0.
Yeah, right. What if that's, did you say it's in Melbourne? Does that mean Amy Park's getting played two nights in a row? Yes.
Well, it's at home in Melbourne. I assume it's at the same park, but they have other stadiums in Melbourne, so.
No, they're both at Amy Park.
I don't think City venture too far away. I think it's Victory that do more of the, like, you know, what is it, Eddie had, what is it called?
Yeah, ours is definitely Amy Park.
Yeah, okay. Okay. 2-0 to Raw, you said. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
Lukey?
I'm gonna say 2-1 to Brisbane because City weren't dominant against us despite winning 2-1. Like, you would have thought they were the team with 10 players with how we were playing. And Brisbane were leading Perth 2-0 until their defence capitulated. So I reckon Brisbane's going to win 2-1.
I thought I was being outrageous saying that. I didn't expect anyone to agree with me. That's cool. Okay, so Saturday afternoon before our game will be the Wellington Phoenix hosting the Central Coast Mariners. Do we even need to tip this one, or is everyone pretty confident that we agree what's going to happen there?
Bode special.
Bode special? Yeah, we'll move on from that then. On Sunday, 6 p.m., that's a funny game time, 6 p.m., Sydney FC are hosting Adelaide United.
I reckon Adelaide 1-0.
Mitch?
Wow. I can't see Sydney being scoreless. Lafondra is, like, killing it at the moment. I think Sydney will win 2-1. Yeah, so let's go 2-1.
I agree with you that there's going to be scoring, but I think there's going to be scoring both ways, and I'm going to go 2-all draw. And to finish up the round, or at least I think so, again, do not know what's going on at the moment, is Perth Glory hosting the Wanderers on Sunday. I'm going to do mine first and say I think Glory are going to absolutely destroy what's left of the Wanderers and what's left of the Wanderers. What's the word? Pride. And I think it's going to be something like a 5-0 absolute whitewash.
Oh, nice. That'd be awesome. Is this a game that, like, Perth in pre-season, like, they made this gigantic hype about this announcement they were making, and then it got to the time they were making it, and it was basically, we're calling the game against the Wanderers like the Battle of the West because it's Popovich's, you know, like, game against his old club. And everyone's like, that was your major announcement? Like,
yeah, that was the thing, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So it's obviously going to be, like, the biggest game of the year for both teams, let's be honest, guys.
You don't think maybe a grand final might be the biggest game of the year for Perth later on this season?
I hope Perth hype a grand final up as much as they hype this game up. It was massive. It was all over social media for like a week or two. It was hilarious.
So you're confident Perth will make the finals, but you just don't think they'll care as much as this match?
No, absolutely.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
The battle is won here. We stand on this hill.
Yes, well, Perth are top of the table right now, and I would like to remind everyone that in our pre-season pod, I did predict that. Go back and listen. It's on the internet if you don't believe me. So what are you guys tipping? Glory versus what were you calling it? The Battle of the West?
Yeah, they called it something like that.
How did they not go with, like, late. Wild West or, you know, something punnier?
And then they could play the Will Smith Wild Wild West theme track and it'd just be a great time all round.
Yep. So who's going to win the Battle of the West?
I like yours. I hope Perth will absolutely smack them. Perth are on fire. Like, they were leading 3-0 at halftime last night against Sydney, wasn't it? So yeah, let's go with the Bode special to Perth. Just under yours, Emma.
Where are you looking?
Well, if Keane is going to be playing like Messi, like he did last night, then yeah, it's probably going to end up 4 or 5-0. So I'll go 5.
Right, don't let us down, Perth. We're expecting a big one in this Battle of the West. Okay, that's done for the A-League then. Let's quickly talk about the W-League this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Also on Saturday, our girls are playing at home and they are playing Perth Glory. So Perth Glory top of the table in the men's. Perth Glory are second on the table in the women's, but they're only 3 points behind Melbourne Victory. So these are some pretty formidable opponents. We're languishing down in eighth position and we're well off that top four. We're on 7 points and the cutoff for the top four right now is 14 points. W League's a much shorter season as well than the men's, so I don't think our girls are going anywhere fast. But can we show anything? Will we get anything out of a match against Perth Glory in the heat of the afternoon? It's at 5:45 at Number 2 Sports Ground. So you could go down and watch the girls and then roll straight on into the Cooks Hill establishments to watch the men's away. Jets fans.
Did I read today Emily Van Egmond's out for the season with an injury?
Yeah, she hurt her ankle at training.
Yeah, that's not good.
So that's another of our big names biting the dust for this season. Again, not actually dying, just getting hurt. that's pretty rough for us. We're missing...
Sometimes you say things like, and there's Emily Van Egmond swimming with the fishes, and like super descriptive injuries.
That's a big loss for us. We've already got a lot of players out, and we've had a lot of injuries to deal with so far this season. And Perth are, as I said, a very strong team. Are our girls, are the rest of them that are left going to get destroyed this week?
Yep.
Well,
no one wants to talk about it because the answer is yes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Perth beat Canberra 1-0, and Sam Kerr was basically, from what I heard, she was on a deathbed, really. She was that sick and then got up and played and scored the winner against Canberra. So, you know, if she's feeling better, I'd hate to see what she's going to do to us.
Yes. Sam Kerr could have a bowler, and I still wouldn't want to fight her.
Last time. Is that right? Did we draw 2-2? Do I remember this right?
Yeah, we did. I think we may have had a red card.
We did have a red card.
Is that the game that Crummer got sent off, or?
I can't remember if it was a Crummer, but someone took out Sam Kerr in the box and got sent off. I remember that.
I think that was Crummer, and I think that was the game that Taylor Smith got injured.
That is the game that Taylor Smith got injured, yes.
I did see a photo today. Sam Kerr got a picture with Serena Williams, and I saw someone write, "When the GOAT meets Serena Williams," and I thought that was pretty good.
Right, so does anyone want to do a prediction for this game? Actual score-wise?
Or 3-0.
Yeah, I think it's the same. It doesn't seem like we've got much of a chance with all our people dropping like flies.
Yeah, I just hope we can get through it without someone else hurting themselves so that we have some girls to come back next year. But yeah, I think they're going to trounce us. I think maybe a Bodie special against us, and I'll cry a lot.
Well, I think there's only 4 games left of the W League. I think the last Jets game's on the 2nd of February, possibly. So, you know, if there's only 4 games left, that's 12 points, and we've got to try and make 7 points up on 4th. Like that's pushing it a lot.
Yeah, mathematically, it's probably still possible, but it's very, very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
And it depends on who's playing who when.
Yeah.
If this was the World Cup, someone would have crunched the numbers, but.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from that depressingness. Do you want to talk about how badly the Mariners are going again to cheer us up, or shall we move on to the sipping competitions?
They are terrible, and it is awesome.
So mean.
Can I just say, before we, since we are on the Mariners, the new Wellington striker, the Irish international, I think his name was Killian Sheridan. Man, when he's fit, he's going to put them like top 4, I reckon.
Oh, wow.
He came on in the sort of halfway through the second half against the Wanderers. The ball he put through for Krishna to go 2-1 up. There's not many players in the league would think of doing a ball like that, let alone being able to actually do it. Even with like the vision and everything of it was just incredible. And he lashed out at a shot. He didn't have much of a run up on it, and it flew like Janjetovic was never going to get to it at all. I don't think an actual good keeper in the league would have gotten it to it if it was on target. It just flew like a rocket, and he died before, like after the ball had gone past him. So, yeah, I think jumping ahead, you know, if he's getting game time, I reckon he's going to cause them a lot of trouble.
Yeah, Wellington of this year, I think.
Like you said earlier, Janjetovic not getting close to it doesn't really narrow it down if it's a...
I had to specify that afterwards. I was like, wait a second. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I think Wellington this year are us last year. They're the surprise packet of the league this year.
For sure.
So, happy for the Phoenix fans. And
you got a coach in Mark Rudin who, after scoring a winner in the 90th minute, turns and yells explicits at the assistant manager for the Wanderers, which are easily audible on camera.
Why you want to talk about awesome Wellington. Well. This is your favourite thing that's ever happened in the A-League, isn't it?
it was good.
Luke is getting a Mark Rudan tattoo. It's going to happen.
No, not yet.
Yeah. We'll get you drunk enough, Lukey, one day.
I agree with you, Emma. They're definitely, Wellington are the, like, they're doing what we did last year. Like, they've got somehow they've gotten more than his ability out of David Williams. And, yeah, they're the massive surprise packet. It just reeks of us and the boot last year. It's pretty cool to watch, but it's also sad that we haven't continued ours.
Yeah, I think they're the key example of the don't have the best players but have a really good team once those players are assembled.
And just like us last year, the breaking records, the win against the Wanderers was their, I think it equaled or broke their longest undefeated streak in A-League history. So you'd back them to extend that another week at least.
So lovely for them.
So, all right, so you're saying Nick's in, are you, Luke?
yes, Nick's in. I have made a few posts about this on a Facebook page recently. So someone posting a photo of the Wellington supporters in Western Sydney say when they were celebrating in the 80th minute with their shirts off, hands up if your team is going to be out of the A-League next year. So I commented, hey, they don't look like Mariners fans.
I like it.
Nice. Any chance to have a dig at the Mariners? Bottom of the table, yes. By the way. Also have because no money. Also no one likes them.
I don't know if you've heard, Emma, but the Mariners are going really poor this year.
I hadn't heard, but it's nice to know. They do have some protected bird life nesting in their stadium, though, which I have heard has increased the value considerably of that stadium. So that's probably all they've got going for them at the moment. Anyway, we're pushing in an hour, so we should probably stop talking about how shit the Mariners are. I'm just going to update everyone very quickly on our Jetstream tipping competition, because all these tips we give each week do get put into a computer and some numbers spat out at the end. Right now, Joel Goodsir is leading our tipping competition. He's on 97 points. Grant Black is only 1 point behind him. I'm coming third. I'm on 81 points. We'll point out I'm the leading girl, but also I'm the only girl. And I did have a perfect round last week, so hopefully I'm going to catch those boys soon. Everyone else is pretty close in the middle of the table, all tying around the 70s, except for we have Grant Ferner and Anthony right down at the bottom of the table on 67 and 65 each. And they're actually doing worse than the unattended bot account that just gets the default tips each week. And they're not just doing a little bit worse, they're doing worse by a long way.
My start was to beat the bot account.
Yeah.
I'm doing that so far.
Well, right now Anthony is the Mariner of our league. He's on 65 points. So, try harder, Anthony. I will update you all as well on the A-League fantasy for those of you who have persevered with, having to click 400 times to make anything happen. Jetapool, David Keating is, first place now. He's passed Michael Bodie, who is, in second place now, and we have Craig Thompson, a non-Jet streamer, is coming up in third place to challenge them. Peter wanted me to mention he's now beating Luke, or equal with Luke. Equal with Luke in fourth place.
This is the stitch up. This is what really annoyed me for this week, is that I had a really good round, and in the head-to-head comp, there was only two people that outscored me, and I got paired against him, and he came first. Like, what a stitch up that is. Have had the people that got 14 points. No, I had to get the one bloke that got above 70.
Yeah, it's almost like playing Brisbane the one week they get their shit together.
I'm speaking as someone that, like, is, I think I'm first or second in the head-to-head, but not going that well in the normal one. You're just not playing head-to-head right, Luke, honestly. Just sort your shit, mate.
I don't know. You're not mentioned at all in the information I've been given about the head-to-head.
Mitch is second.
Oh, you're PV4.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, so, that's you. Bodie's coming first.
Mitch is second. I'm third. I think Dave might be fourth and Pete might be fifth in the head-to-head.
That is correct. And Craig Thompson is right behind. Loyal listeners, if you're listening to this and thinking, wow, the Jetstream have just talked about their personal tipping a lot and they haven't mentioned any of us, next year, join our leagues, bitches, because anyone can be in them. And I'm sure we will do them again next year, and more people can beat Luke in head-to-heads and make him sad about how math works each week, and that would be fun. I'll try not to rage quit next year. as I did this year. Maybe my unattended account is still earning some points, though. I'll have to check next week and see where I'm up to. Or maybe someone who can still remember their password can let me know. Okay, is there anything else in the wonderful world of A-League that I need to mention before I wrap this shindig up?
No, that was good.
We're good?
Yeah, I think we all had a good time tonight.
All right.
We learned a lot about each other.
I think before we go, I do need to mention Blah Blah Media Empire, social medias. Look up Jetstream Newey. We're on all of them, more active on some than others. Most of the contributors are on the Twitter if you want to talk shit about football. Just don't mention the penalty and the card anymore, or Anthony might have a heart attack or a stroke. And
also, if you just want to talk shit to us, because that's basically what 99% of our Twitters are, I think.
Yeah, at the beginning of this pod, I said there's no wrong answer, it's just an opening question, and I remembered afterwards there is a wrong answer to some of the opening questions, like where you keep your tomato sauce. So that's the kind of quality content that we are on the social medias for, so do come tell us where you keep your sauce.
I'm team cupboard.
Yes.
Yeah, so are all normal people.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
And play by no rules.
Yeah. And once we're done with the once you're done with letting us know where you keep your sauce, people, you can tell us where you keep your butter and any other condiments that may be controversial. That is the absolute or content the Jetstream is here for.
Where you keep your bread, fridge, freezer or cupboard.
Okay, that's I'm gonna come back to that one, yeah. So tweet us, people, all your nonsense, but not about the penalty anymore, because we don't want Anthony to break his computer or hurt himself. I think all that's left to say is go the Jets. So go the Jets.
I'm myself jerkless.
Go the Jets. Another good one is, joke for do you me? Put the toilet paper up or do you put the toilet paper down?
I saw a thing that had like a patent on that. It was like this is how the toilet roll holder works, and it was clearly right. Like with the, what do you say, like the loose toilet paper closer to you, not against the wall?
Depends if you have cats.
I've heard a thing that you're not supposed to have the toilet paper against the wall because it increases bacteria or something, like if it's touching the wall or something.
It's paper. But if you hang it over front ways, if it comes over the top and to the front, if you've got a cat, they're going to unroll all that thing.
Yeah, if you've got a kid, they do that too. But I think a cat and kid are going to do it regardless. Like, yeah, I don't think they'd care either way.
No, because they can't make it spin if it's the other way. Like, they can't get it to unroll as they spin it, because cats can't do the upstroke anyway. This is all elementary. No one did me a Simpsons joke. I'm a bit disappointed.
I think we had one or two in there, but no major one. Nothing at the end. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.